All right, this segment, we cover our weekly to-do. It's designed to help you, the Arizona homeowner, tackle one specific item around your home, castle, or cabin to keep up with the weekly maintenance. It's a lot easier to tackle one project a week than have 5, 6, 7, 20 of them stacked up on you. And today we're talking about testing our water. And to do that, we've got one of our water specialists in, Mr. John Owens with Kinetico. And you guys service both Phoenix and Tucson. And generally speaking, when you go to a customer's home, water testing is the first thing we're doing.
Correct. And if you're going to test water, so if you live in a publicly connected utility, they're mandated by law to test every source every 36 months, and they average it together and send you a document called the Consumer Confidence Report. So what you can do is go to the local provider's website, look for a document called the Consumer Confidence Report. It's the average over the last 36 months. Now, if you don't trust them, you can go to your own laboratory and have it tested. The EPA recommends using Underwriters Laboratory. The test begins at $500, about $30,000 to identify everything in the water. Or with technology, you can go to the web, and there's a third-party group called the Environmental Working Group, and it's ewg.org/tapwater. Click on your state, provide your zip code. They'll list all the public providers, and click on yours, and they will highlight and spotlight every violation they've ever had. Now, if you live in a rural environment, like Romy lives in a rural environment, and you have well water, and you want to have it tested, the EPA says for anything for health-related issues and water quality to go to an EPA-certified lab. And basically, the lab that we've used for years and years now does only municipal testing. And a local source, you can use a company called IAS Laboratories located over in Phoenix, or you can use Chandler Analytical over in Chandler. And what ends up happening is we recommend instead of doing a whole array of tests, because water testing is kind of like going to a restaurant, ordering off a menu that has 10,000 items. Instead of ordering 10,000 items, if you contact a water specialist like Kinetico, we can advise you on what specific tests that can narrow it down and can save you a small fortune. And they recommend if you have a well, then you test the water about every 3 to 5 years. Also, if you drill a new well, they have a thing called the well drill log, and the well driller has a handwritten journal of all the geology of the soil they encountered. A water expert like us can take a look at the well drill log and the water report and advise you on the best water treatment.
A lot of information, and for anyone listening that couldn't write all that down, yes, it'll be available in the podcast. At the end of this broadcast, you can go slow it down and write those URLs out. And one of the reasons we love having you is so much technical, great information in a very short time. But what do you commonly find throughout Arizona?
That's a good question and a challenging question because it depends on where you're at. So if you look at in the metro area, you could have, if you have an older part of town, you can have things like volatile organic contaminants. We can have foam from firefighting foam. We can have pesticides, herbicides. When you get into the rural environment, if you get into particularly anywhere north of Phoenix, pretty much to Colorado, all the way to Utah, all the way east to New Mexico, all the way to California, we have naturally occurring things like radon, radionuclides, cadmium, radium, barium. In addition, we have insanely high levels of naturally occurring arsenic in the water. So those are things we would find in the rural area. In the metro areas, if you had historical farming, you could have nitrates, nitrites, pesticides, and herbicides. And the whole valley is kind of on a slope. So generally speaking, the more downstream, the more souvenirs you're going to have. And I've heard it crudely but accurately projected that one man's latrine is the next man's pristine. It just depends on where you're at in the stream flow. So if you happen to be located way west and way south of the valley, you're not exactly in the upstream position. So they have a higher concentration of souvenirs in their water.
Souvenirs. That's a...
I'm being PC there.
That's a great word, souvenirs. Now, growing up, I was never really paid attention to water we drank out of the hose. But then when I finally started doing the listening and allowing myself to learn about water treatment, what it could do, and actually did it, and now have my own RO system, I have a 32-ounce water jug that I carry with me all the time. And if I run out before getting home, I can't stand to drink the water. I have become quite a water snob because you don't realize just how good clean water really is until you hit tap water again.
Yeah, it impacts every part of your lives. And if you ever, let's say if you're backpacking in the wilderness or you're camping out in the middle of nowhere and you're uncertain about what's the safest or purest water to drink, a very simple but a very accurate test is simply find a four-legged friend and make them sample for you. And if you take little caps, little bowls, put down 100 samples, 100% of the time animals will default to the purest water first. And we documented giving local dairy cows pure water. They drink more water, produce more milk, live longer, stay healthier, and the farmer nets an extra 33 cents a day profit per cow. I always tell people it's good for a cow, might be good for people, just maybe.
And cows can sure muddy up a water hole pretty quick.
Some animals, they only drink the water they're born with. So if you have an ostrich, by example, it only drinks the water it's born with, you can't move an ostrich from Whitman to Wickenburg because they'll die because they only drink the water they're born with. So some animals, every animal is unique with water.
That's very interesting. I never knew that about ostriches. Maybe that's why they had such a hard time establishing them in Arizona in the 1910s and 20s. That was one of the up-and-coming herd crops was going to be ostriches, and it was a disaster.
Yeah,
I wonder if that was why.
When they had the ostrich boom a few years ago, when ostrich, a breeding pair, became worth $50,000, we got involved with water treatment because you can duplicate pure water at other places. So that was one of the things we attempted to work with them on that, and so it's interesting.
What kind of equipment is available on the point of use for the customer? There's so many great options. Once somebody makes the commitment and does it, they'll never go back.
Correct. And the most important thing is, in my opinion, the local municipal treatment, we're vendors of many of the different municipal plants. And in my opinion, they do the best they can with the resources they have, so I'm never going to beat them up. They're doing a bad job. But what I would suggest is that if you look at it, we can improve it, like Romy said. And so the water, it makes sense. If it smells good, it tastes good, it's healthy, you're going to drink it. And it's arguably the healthiest beverage we could probably consume. So doctors suggest we drink 8 8-ounce glasses of water every day, add 8 ounces every 10 degrees rise in temperature, every 10 pounds above the norm, every decade of life above the norm. So in English, that means in Arizona, for most
drink
of us,
water.
We drink about a gallon per day, we're good to go. And the problem is most people don't. They go, if I do, I'll have to run to the restroom all the time. But the water makes a profound difference in your quality of life. And what I would say is you don't want to get the wrong type of treatment. So you can get everything from a little inexpensive inline filter to, a pour-through pitcher. You can get under the sink reverse osmosis, or the state-of-the-art technology is the Kinetico K5 drinking water station that removes everything that's not water from the water, including virus and bacteria. So we have a whole array of different technologies. And the best thing to do is we're pretty open-minded. And if you talk to an expert, they can sit down with you and advise you on the various options and all the choice on the menu so you understand exactly what you're getting for each individual option.
Now, you had made a statement about, I don't want to drink that much because I don't want to use the restroom that much. If you work outside, anytime I'm working outside with or for hiking or doing anything, I want to make sure I'm seeing everyone go to the bathroom, because if you're drinking and you're still not, you don't have to go, you're seriously underperforming on your water intake, because it sweats out quick and you've got to add a lot to be able to go to the bathroom when the summer heat hits.
Yeah, they say an easy way to test it, if you're like Romy and you carry a large jug, that's one way to measure it. But the next way to do it is to always have water at reach. So if your water is 6 inches out of reach, we're so lazy we don't go get it. So we always must have water at reach, and the urine stream should be clear. So if your urine stream is clear and you can always touch water, you're correctly hydrated. If you have color in the urine and you can't reach it, then you have the risk of being dehydrated. When you get dehydrated, your body runs down, your energy runs out, and it's not a good thing. And so for me, I stay hydrated all day long, and my energy is like an energizer bunny, and I'm in my 60s, and I just keep going and going and going. Water is a big part of it.
And at that point of dehydration, if you're not near it or you're out there, that's when you see people getting, if they're in service, getting medevaced, and sometimes, we're not that fortunate, and you hear about the report on the news about recovery now in place.
Yeah, you always hear people hiking the, mountain, I'm going to go hike Camelback, and then they have to do rescues. In the summertime, it seems like it happens quite frequently, or people go out in the desert with no water.
I'm in the middle of the city. I don't need to be prepared.
So it makes sense to always have water with you. And if you always have water with you and you drink it all day long, it's great. And if you're unsure about what the source, which one to use, like I said, do the four-legged friend, furry friend test and have them choose for you. And all the time they will choose the best water.
That's amazing. I hadn't heard that about animals either. Now, today we've been talking all about just the purity of water, cleaning water, filtering water. for somebody new to Arizona, as you know, according to all the stats, we've fastest growing cities in the country, everyone moving into Arizona, we have very hard water. A lot of our water comes from the Colorado Rockies. It comes down through Glen Canyon Dam and Hoover Dam, and it comes in on the canal through CAP. It's pumped out of the ground. So there's a lot of travel time, and a lot of minerals get picked up, and we have very hard water, and especially around mining towns as well. It's even, you know, Globe is notorious for the hardest water just because of all the mining there. We can put equipment on our home that takes all the hardness out, which is great for our plumbing equipment, all of our water-using appliances. It makes our skin feel better, and our clothes last longer. So there's water purification we've been talking about. We haven't even touched on water treatment and softening your water.
Correct. And a lot of times people don't even know what water hardness is. And the hardness is calcium and magnesium, which has reacted with carbon dioxide, forms a compound called calcium carbonate or water hardness. Commonly, it looks like spots, like if you let the water stand in your sink or on a glass, it creates a spot or a film. And basically, that also retains the soap, virus, and bacteria. So when you pull your cleanest dish out of the dishwasher and take it out outside to the yard in the sun and you still see spots, that's not a good sign. So restaurants get closed down by the health department for doing that. Why would we allow it in our own homes? So when you have a good, well-engineered system, you can pull out your dishes sparkling, spot-free, never use the heat cycle, no jet dry, and your laundry soft and fluffy. It dries better. There's no static electricity, no fabric softener. Your lint trap is 85% less than what it is now, and most people don't have all the buildup inside the shower. So the average person, they go through this gyration. They either live like pigs and it's all scummy and soapy, or they live like freaks and they race to the shower less when there has squeegee duty. With good water, it rinses the way it should, and your dishes come out better. As most ladies find, if they use good water, a pH balanced shampoo, they don't have to use conditioner, no tangles, no split ends, no dry itchy skin, no hand creams, no body creams, no lotion. So it's one of the few items in a house used by every 2- and 4-legged occupant every day that actually pays for itself.
And if you have a water softener installed, you generally then want to add a water purifier, because for at the kitchen sink, you wouldn't just do a water softener without putting some kind of RO in it.
Yeah, and what I describe is not one doesn't cause the other, but when you have a wardrobe and you get dressed for work in the morning, most of us use, if you're a guy, shoes, pants, and a shirt, or shoes, trousers, and a shirt. And if you leave home with no shoes, you burn your feet. Leave home with no trousers, you get hooked and booked. And so water is kind of like a wardrobe. We take out the sediment, take out the chlorine, take out the hardness. In addition, we purify the water.
And for anyone listening that hasn't figured it out yet, yes, you're listening to Chief Warrant Officer John Owens. Thank you for your service, sir. That was a very military presentation. If anybody wanted to talk to you further, how would they do that?
They can just contact Kinetico. Go to kineticoaz.com.
Or you can find him in the water treatment category at Rosie on the House. And you were mentioning that as part of your 30 years in the Marine Corps, you were a hydrologist during the war.
Yeah, I started off as a combat engineer, building bridges, airfields, runways. And then in the first Gulf War, eras when we got involved with water treatment, and then they started sending me to many different schools, and basically the last place I was in Korea in 2008.
And were you serious that your family got lost here in a covered wagon?
Yeah, my family came here in a covered wagon in 1860. My great-grandma was the first lady in the Prescott Rodeo, and then they immigrated to the valley, and they delivered ice to people's ice boxes, and then one of her sons was the largest sugar beet farmer in Arizona, and so my family's been here in one form or another since 1860.
Well, thank you for your family and their pioneering of Arizona, and for your service in the Marine Corps.